was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ready! Lock and load! Aim! Fire!
Megan, Hillary Clinton and her campaign have repeatedly refused to release the transcripts of her speeches, and political analysts say these leaked excerpts are likely the reason why, including where she apparently called Bernie Sanders supporters a, quote, bucket of losers. They come from some 2,000 emails hacked from the personal account of top Clinton aide John Podesta, none of which have been confirmed, mind you. They show Clinton campaign researchers trying to flag Podesta about quotes that could be politically damaging. For example, one that says Clinton admits she's out of touch, referring to a speech she made at Goldman Sachs where she talked about her middle class upbringing and went on to say, quoting, so I lived that, and now obviously I'm kind of far removed because the life I've lived and the economic, you know, fortunes that my husband and I now enjoy. But I haven't forgotten it. Another red flag came in 2013, a speech to the National Multi-Housing Council where she said, quoting again, I mean, politics is like sausage being made. It is unsavory, and it always has been that way. But we usually end up where we need to be. But if everybody's watching, you know, all of the backroom discussions and the deals, you know, then people get a little nervous, to say the least. So you need both a public and a private position. The aides also flag comments where Clinton is aware of the security concerns around BlackBerries, even admitting that everyone at the State Department was being hacked, even personal emails, quoting here again, at the State Department, we were attacked every hour, more than once an hour, by incoming efforts to penetrate everything we had. The emails also entailed comments indicating she supports the Keystone Pipeline, which she publicly opposes, how she favors single-payer or government-funded health care, how she thinks Wall Street insiders are what's needed to fix Wall Street, and why she supports lowering corporate tax rates and raising the Social Security age. For the record, of the $22 million she made from speeches after resigning as Secretary of State, $3 million came from Wall Street. So far, there has been no comment from the Clinton campaign. John Podesta thinks he was hacked by Russians trying to throw the election to Donald Trump.
All right, the Obama administration is moving now to drop all charges against an arms dealer who threatened to expose a plan by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to arm anti-Qaddafi rebels in Libya back in 2011. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge live in Washington with that. Catherine?
Well, thank you, John. Working with Senior Executive Producer Pamela Brown, we secured the only TV interview with arms dealer Mark Turi. And based on the interview, court documents, and emails from Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, Turi makes a compelling case the Obama administration authorized a covert weapons program to arm the Libyan rebels in 2011 that spun out of control. This clip from the investigation first aired on the Fox Business Network.
Well, this would come under Secretary Clinton's watch.
This sworn affidavit, released in May 2015 and obtained by Fox News, indicates a covert weapons operation was authorized. Turey's partner and advisor was this man, David Manners. During his 18-year career at the CIA, he served as the top spy in Jordan and in the former Czechoslovakia. Manners stated, in his expert opinion, the United States did participate directly or indirectly in the supply of weapons to the Libyan Transitional National Council.
That's where I came up with this zero footprint Arab supply chain.
And based on this new court filing, the Justice Department has now moved to dismiss the charges against Turey, in part because a trial that would happen around the election in November would publicly expose evidence about the administration's strategy to arm the Libyan opposition. The government motion reads, in part, in light of the court's discovery rulings, the administrative resolution between DDTC, that's a branch of the State Department that licenses weapons for sale, and the defendant, and other factors, the government seeks leave of the court to dismiss the criminal matter. This case will now be resolved through a civil settlement, which avoids litigation over Clinton's term as Secretary of State, as well as her emails. Turey told Fox, as part of that investigation, that he believes half of the weapons ended up in Libya, and the other half went to Syrian groups who are not friendly to the United States, John.
Emails from WikiLeaks show members of the Clinton team saying some offensive things about an important voting bloc, Catholics and evangelicals. The emails are from the hacked account of the Clinton team chair, John Podesta. He is copied in one exchange mocking the beliefs of Fox News CEO Rupert Murdoch and Wall Street Journal managing editor Robert Thompson. Clinton campaign communications director Jen Palmieri writing, quote, I imagine they think it is the most socially acceptable, politically conservative religion. Their rich friends would not understand if they became evangelical.
As we've been discussing, WikiLeaks released another 1,000 emails purportedly from the Gmail account of Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. Now, over the past few days, they've released over 5,000, and the revelations from today's WikiLeaks email dump, it should make you, the American people, angry and furious. Now, let's go through what they reveal. In one email, Clinton campaign spokesman Brian Fallon is caught clearly colluding with the U.S. Justice Department during their investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server. Fallon wrote in an email to several Clinton staffers, including Podesta, quote, DOJ folks inform me there is a status hearing in this case this morning, so we could have a window into the judge's thinking about this proposed production schedule as quickly as possible. Wow, pretty unbelievable. Now, the White House, of course, is denying any wrongdoing, but that's not all. Now, as it turns out, the Clinton campaign wasn't just colluding with the Justice Department. They were also coordinating openly with members of the mainstream media. For example, according to one of the leaked emails, CNBC's John Harwood, well, he gave advice to the Clinton campaign, and he said, I imagine that Obama feels some sad vindication at this demonstration of his year-long point about the opposition party veering off the rails. In another leaked email chain, top Clinton officials are clearly being pressured by the chairman of Univision to hit Donald Trump harder over immigration. And that's not all. The leaked emails also allegedly show the Clinton campaign also had a very cozy relationship with the New York Times, and particularly with its reporter, Mark Leibovich, who allowed the campaign to edit out certain Clinton quotes from a 2015 interview. Isn't that nice? Clinton communications director Jennifer Palmieri even told them, quote, pleasure doing business with you. Of course, this is only the tip of the iceberg, with other leaked emails showing a staffer calling Chelsea Clinton, quote, a spoiled brat, John Podesta's obsession with aliens, and sometimes Clinton was told when to smile during her speeches. That would be like me reading this to you and saying, hi, how are you? I'll smile now.
Sarithi is former president of the Haitian Senate, so I want to read to you the emails that we're talking about here, at least some of them. It says, quote, you need to flag people who are friends of WJC. That's William Jefferson Clinton, of course. This is a senior State Department official who is juggling incoming offers to funnel assistance from the State Department over to these companies that were going to come in. And she says, most I could probably ID, but not all. This is an FOB with an exclamation point.
What?
Aid forwards a note later with a woman's offer for medical supplies. If she's not, she should go directly to CIDI.org. This is the, you know, regular government website, the way other people would enter and make bids for these products, but if you were a friend of Bill, you could come in, and what we learned later was that they were not competitively bidding for contracts, that they were just given these contracts, and in some cases there was outright fraud of these people who came in through the Clintons. What is your opinion of that, and what did that do to the patients that were so desperately in need of help?
Pay to play!
It has entirely crushed Haiti. In 2010, we had an earthquake that killed 315,000 people. That's really a deadly earthquake, and millions were left without shelter. President Obama named Bill Clinton as the one that should be in charge of the reconstruction of Haiti. And in that process, the Clinton Foundation, through U.S. taxpayers' money and people giving money worldwide to the Clinton Foundation for relief effort to Haiti, contributed about $14.3 billion. We're talking about $1 billion, okay? And the Haitian people has not seen not even 2% of that money.
2%.
Nothing was done in Haiti.
Yeah. No, and the New York Times has investigated this. Lots of other people have and have found that it was donors to the Clinton Foundation that were then given these contracts, and they went
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Pause for one second there. I just want to say something right now. I spoke to a man today who was from Jamaica. Very nice man. Very, very nice man who has friends in Haiti. Who informed me that the Clintons absolutely and completely, totally ripped Haiti off. These people who pretend to be humanitarians pocketed tons of money for the Clinton Foundation off of the backs of the misery of those suffering in Haiti. Go ahead and continue to roll that clip.
And they went
exactly.
in. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly, and actually they were given those contracts, they were given millions of dollars from that money, and nothing was actually done in Haiti.
Yeah.
Haiti, just like everything the Clinton have done, is pay for play. And they control Haiti, and they have been controlling Haiti since 1994 when they invaded Haiti. Yeah. Myself, I can tell you that back in August of 1994, I was always in contact with U.S. officials.
Yeah.
And one of the person that came to see me in Haiti and talked to me for about 4 hours was ex-former Congressman Bill Richardson. And I explained to Bill the exact situation that was happening in Haiti. A week later, a messenger from the U.S. Embassy came to me with a message from Bill Clinton, offered to buy me out, make me the richest man in Haiti.
Okay.
I refused. I said, to tell Mr. Clinton, I am not for sale.
Okay.
A week later, my visa, at that time I was not a citizen of the United States, my residence visa was revoked by executive order from Bill Clinton.
Sir,
I mean, what the Clinton have done in Haiti is unbelievable, and the American people should know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're up against a hard break. It's going to cut us off. I hope that you will come back and tell us more about your story, because this is so important.
Oh,
the foundation
definitely.
We
got
said their work has focused on helping the people of Haiti in their time of urgent need. Obviously,
right.
You just
6 minutes past now. We got this just an hour ago, and we continue to go through it. WikiLeaks posted more than 2,000 additional emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign chair, John Podesta. This is the hashtag Podesta file, I think, online. That makes more than 4,000 so far, and we're learning from them that Mrs. Clinton talked about insider information about the raid on Osama bin Laden's hideout with a group of bankers in Canada. What does the CIA think about that? Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge live in D.C. for more now. Catherine, good morning.
Well, thank you, Bill, and good morning. These transcripts released by WikiLeaks show Hillary Clinton gave a speech to a group of Canadian business leaders in November 2013. And during that speech, Clinton reveals details of the 2011 raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Clinton specifically discusses sources and methods which appears to be a violation of national security. Clinton tells the business group that an intercepted phone call was part of the intelligence trail that led to the al-Qaeda leader's compound in Pakistan. The transcript reads in part, quote, "The people who were the analysts and collectors and good old-fashioned spies who were gathering bits and pieces of information, some of them from cell phone conversations. He has just made a phone call. He said, this is the phone call. We need to figure out where he is. Then we need to follow him. And that is how we found this compound in Abbottabad." A former intelligence officer said Clinton's team showed no respect for classified information, and the investigation did not hold them accountable.
Well, special operations, operational security is paramount. And one of the things they see is a lack of integrity and a lack of discipline on the part of those who have looked into the incident.
Asked by Fox News, if Clinton's discussion of the bin Laden operation was cleared, that's a standard step for discussing classified information in public. A CIA spokesman said they had no comment on her speech or her claim that a phone intercept played a role tracking down bin Laden.
Is there a double standard in that, Catherine?
Well, on its face, it does appear to be a double standard. This was a paid speech by Hillary Clinton, and the U.S. government recently took legal action against the author Matt Bissonnette. He's the former Navy SEAL who wrote about the mission in his book No Easy Day. Bissonnette has now been ordered by a federal court to pay the government nearly $7 million from his profits, and in exchange, a criminal investigation into the unauthorized disclosure of classified information is being closed. The CIA would not say whether similar action is being considered in Clinton's case, and the Clinton campaign is not commenting on WikiLeaks, full stop.
Okay, 3%. Militia, prepare, reload. Ready, aim, fire.
Remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? He was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat back in 1999. Days later, his plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and his rival, Hillary Clinton, was elected senator. Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern. She knew enough of the inner workings of Bill's sexual advancements to be a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. She was brutally executed at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. In 1993, White House counsel Vince Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park near D.C. He supposedly killed himself, and among a lengthy list of potential foul play, the bullet was never found. Then there's James McDougal, a key witness for White House prosecutors. He was serving his 3-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas. And just before he was to give a testimony before the grand jury, McDougal suffered a heart attack in solitary confinement. In 2015, Walter Scheib, a White House chef hired under Bill Clinton, joined the list. His body was found at the bottom of a river, nearly 2 miles from the base of the trail he was reportedly hiking. An autopsy determined that Scheib's death was accidental drowning, but he might have known too much. 27-year-old Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed in D.C. this year. There is speculation that he was the source of the controversial leaked emails allegedly sent by DNC staffers, and that he may have been murdered in retaliation. Then Sean Lucas, the lead attorney in a fraud case against the DNC, was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on August 2nd. His death was reported classified, pending the results of an autopsy.
To this day, questions remain.
Now, I think that I've made a point. Welcome to the show, Brother John Mesner. How are you, brother?
Good, how are you?
Good. Think I made a point?
I can barely hear you, by the way. Hey, that was a powerful clip.
Yes, sir. You know, and that doesn't even include some of the more recent deaths, like the guy that lost his larynx to the slipped barbell, supposedly the day that he was supposed to testify against Mrs. Clinton.
Yeah, nope. You know, the guy that was saying that he couldn't corrupt him and he wasn't for sale, and said he would buy his share out to the Haitian man.
Yeah.
He was in New York for the first debate and being interviewed by a bunch of the mainstream media and whatnot, getting his message out. So I thought that was pretty cool that he was actually able to cut through and get some play on the, you know, the prostitute media.
Well, my fellow deplorables. our show very well illustrates, and we will go back to educating the public as to the truth about much of the history that we've been lied about, that we've been propagandized with. However,
right.
I am stuck in a quagmire of a situation. Now, as well I know that since Reconstruction, the lawful government was essentially replaced by this corporate commu-fasci communitarian amalgamation. Nonetheless, they are the occupying force. To say to ourselves at this point that they are not would be a departure from reality. So, that being said, in this reality, the next president of the United States will have many people looking to that individual to most probably appoint the next few Supreme Court justices. Now, while most of the public is brainwashed to the point where they believe that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter and not the Constitution itself, well, I think that right now it is important, it is critical that we make people understand that while I am not endorsing the de facto government, at the same time, I must take a rigid and absolute stand against Hillary Rodham Clinton. This woman is potentially the worst thing that could ever happen in the history of this Reconstruction replacement government. We will not have a chance at restoring or resurrecting the Republic if this puppet of the Rothschilds makes her way to the Oval Office. That is a fact. So I have no choice. I'm drawn in, as unwilling as I am, to have to get involved in this ridiculous, absolutely insane election fiasco. That being said, I will remain and be happily consider myself a deplorable. How about you, John?
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, brother. I tell you what, when I talk to people and they say that it's any worse than Barack Obama, how could it get any worse than Barack Obama? Well, I tell you what, it can, and that is with Hillary Rodham Clinton. You think Obama's bad, and he is, but she will be the destructor of all destructors. That we will not survive a Clinton presidency in terms of our republic. So, it can get worse than Barack.
You know, for a little while there, I thought, and I was snapped back into reality. You know what? Maybe it would be better if she did steal this election, because it's the only way that she will get it is to steal it. Only in that, I don't believe that the majority of those patriotic Americans out there are quite stirred up enough. However, once I sat and discussed this subject with Mr. Wayne Morrow of the John Birch Society, a very fine man I respect very much, he informed me that, well, while the presidency itself may not be as important as the congressional seats that we need to take, and the magic number to that is 214. We need 214 of those seats to truly resurrect the republic. Now, that being said, the importance of the Supreme Court picks, and the reason I say the importance of the Supreme Court picks is that the majority of the people out there have some sort of understanding that these black-robed priests of Baal have the right to, with their opinion and with the modern secular feel, somehow override hundreds of years of established precedent. I was under the impression that the precedent was already established in prior cases. However, we have seen repeatedly, as with the Agenda 21 driver's licensing, that a right cannot be converted into a privilege, so said the Supreme Court. Yet, that is exactly what has been done, and they have upheld it. They changed the law at will.
Absolutely they did. And, you know, the role of the Supreme Court is to properly adjudicate the validity and the interpretation, proper interpretation of the Constitution. It is not for them to see the circumstances and rule based on what they think should be or how they think things should be. It is 150% supposed to be a constitutional benchmark that they go by. That's all they're supposed to do. But we look to them now, we meaning the ignorant masses that are now the corporate citizenry, look to the Supreme Court as they just get to willy-nilly, decide the interpretation of everything. Not just, morality and laws and the Constitution, which they view now more or less as, a fluid document that can be, reinterpreted based on current times. So even if Trump is elected, and even if Trump makes a much better selection of justices for the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court will not be a great Supreme Court. It just won't be a devastating Supreme Court. That's as good as we can hope for. It's still probably going to suck. It's just not going to suck nearly as bad.
Yes, well, I agree with you with that. But we have to be very, very, very careful and very diligent. We have to understand that we are backing this truck out of the mud. Folks, we need to break for a few words from our sponsors. We will be right back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Support. I have told you time and time again, you are our paycheck. You are our support. You are what makes the wheels go round. We are here for you. Please feel free to go to republicbroadcasting.org, call in, comment, ask your questions, be heard. That's what we're here for. But most importantly, go to RTRTruthMedia.com. That is RTRTruthMedia.com or resurrecttherepublic.com and click on that PayPal and send us a donation. Folks, I have urged you in the past to do so. We are relaunching our website. We are putting time, effort, money, equipment, and I have to be honest with you. By day, I manage a horse ranch. I work my butt off from 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning until the night drops down in the sky. I do everything that I can preparing for what I know is eventually going to come when they unleash the nihilists. And every evening, John and I sit and talk, and we talk about and discuss the things that you most need to hear and what you need to talk about. This man is putting a lot of his time and a lot of his effort into completely rebuilding this website. We know that many of you have gone to the website and it has come up with errors and reloaded and had all sorts of issues. So we are addressing these problems. Let me make that clear to you. We are spending a lot of time, a lot of effort, and money into providing this republic with the truth, with teaching the true history. I'm taking time also on the side in educating specific people's children. Now, if you were a listener to RBN, if you're a listener to this show, and you want your child to be instructed into the true history of this republic, if you want them to learn the truth about the subversion of our republic, send me an email at rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com. Let me know exactly what's going on. Let me know what you'd like your child to learn. And I promise you this, I will light a fire up under their butt. I will make them want to love to learn about the true history of this republic. God has granted me a little bit of a gift in being able to inspire young people to learn these things. A calling, if you will. I'm using that calling and I'm trying to reach out to as many of you as possible. I've had parents who have had their children use our research to write book reports or reports for school. Take it into school, and don't get me wrong, it caused a little bit of a turmoil. But in the end, they were forced to go to the website and try and prove us wrong, and they could not, and were forced to give the students an A for their efforts. And out of all those kids in that classroom, I can guarantee you this, with the House documents from the floor, from the Senate, from the House of Representatives, from the individual states, those children had the truth as to what really happened, what was really said, what transpired. How many of these kids in school today can tell you the same thing? So I would ask very humbly for you to go to rtrtruthmedia.com and resurrecttherepublic.com. Click on that PayPal and support our effort. We believe in what we're doing. Now I'm going to let John tell you for a second what he's doing with the website so you know exactly what's going on. And then we're going to get to another clip of Mr. Donald J. Trump and what he thinks about the elections in this republic. Go ahead, John. Tell him what you're doing.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, and the exciting part of the whole renovation of the website, we're not just going in and fixing some things that are broken. We are completely rebuilding the site from the ground up. And I tell you what, it's really starting to come together. This is going to be a beautiful site. and the information, and it's, there's a lot of information on the site, as some of you know that have spent time on the current site. There's a tremendous amount of information, and that's really contributed a lot to some of the weaknesses of the site. But with the new site, this information is going to be organized in a highly efficient database, and it's going to be accessible through a very user-friendly navigation system. And some of the education Tom was just talking about, we're going to begin putting together some educational programs, some educational video series that will be available for a very affordable price. But, you know, they will be available for sale to help support the efforts to put those things together and help support the site and the show overall. So, yeah, it's very exciting. You know, I've done a lot of revamps of websites, and it's not that often I get a chance to be as excited about one as I am with this one. And I can honestly tell you, folks, that my heart is in this, and that makes this a lot of fun. And when I'm having fun developing a website, I tell you, watch out. You're going to have a site that you're going to have a lot of fun and spend a lot of time on. So there it is. Coming soon, very soon.
I thank John from the bottom of my heart, and there's many people out there who I've already received emails from, who have also thanked me. I have to inform you folks tonight, usually I am in a rather small studio here on the farm. Tonight we have a situation going on with one of the horses, and I am out back in the open. You may hear noises from the farm. You may occasionally hear a rooster crow, although he's been kind of quiet, as pesky as an ornery individual as he is. But I would like to apologize for you tonight, because I had to step outside of the studio, and I have to keep my eyes on things tonight. That's what we do. Yeah, you see? Yeah, that's how farming goes.
Who doesn't like to hear a rooster crow? I've got chickens and turkeys and all that on my farm here in Idaho, so I get people telling me all the time, I can hear your rooster in the background. I love it.
Yeah, isn't that great? And we just had six chicks born just yesterday morning. I know that this is kind of a little dull news for you folks out there, but it was a cute story. Lori and I went out to the barn, and you know, we have the incubator out there, and we went to turn the eggs over, because actually they had several more days before they were due. And we pulled the lid off of the incubator to turn the eggs, and we both jumped back startled, because there were six chicks there. Almost one of them fell out in my hand from the incubator. I tell you what, it's an amazing thing. Life is always an amazing thing, but life on a farm, those mundane things that many people may not think of, they're such a blessing, I tell you. It really is.
Yeah, if you ever watch a...
Yeah, it's a joy.
Watch a large animal... If you ever watch a large animal get born...
Watch! I've had to reach in and pull them out, brother.
Yeah. I didn't want to go quite that far with most people's imagination, but I mean, just watching a large animal be born and being in the barn and experiencing that, I mean, it really is something, you know. It's good. It's like when you watch your own child get born, how exciting that is, and you know, you'll never forget. It's an experience of a lifetime. Now, I'm not going to say watching an animal get born is going to be as exciting as watching your own child get born, but it's definitely a second best, that's for sure. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun.
The circle. And, sure. Well, we have a clip now I want to share with you all from Donald Trump talking about the election process. Go ahead and roll clip number three.
So just to finish up, you see what's happening. The process is rigged. This whole election is being rigged. These lies spread by the media, without witnesses, without backup or anything else, are poisoning the minds of the electorate. No witnesses, no backup, no anything else. And I'm telling you, I have many top professionals. Don't talk about this, Donald. Nobody believes. I said, maybe some do believe it. You have to talk about it. When somebody makes, am I right? When somebody makes an accusation that you did something and you weren't there, you never saw this person before. It's a lie, total lie, it's fabrication. Sometimes they do it for fame. Maybe they get money. Who knows? The Clinton campaign is pushing it. The New York Times did a story on somebody where it was totally false. They knew it was totally false. We gave them the information. They wrote a whole big page about somebody where they were sending me emails and letters and everything. And then you realize it was a one-way send, by the way. There was nothing sent back. And you realize it was a totally phony deal. They did a whole big story on it. They didn't mention all of the emails. They didn't mention everything coming my way. And others looked at it, and as bad as they were, as soon as they saw all this stuff that was sent, they immediately decided not to do this. Or New York Times did a story on it. They read these stories, and people might not know how untrue they are. It's really a disgrace. I've been saying this for a long time. The whole thing we've been going through, and I hate to say it, but the whole thing we're going through, Bernie Sanders, it was a rigged deal. The whole thing is one big fix. It's one big fix. It's one big ugly lie. It's one big fix. The press can't write the kind of things they write, which are lies, lies, lies. The stories are fabrications and false. And the only thing I say is hopefully, our patriotic movement will overcome this terrible deception.
There's
never been anything like this in the United States. And the only way they figure they can slow it down is to come up with people that are willing to say, oh, I was with Donald Trump in 1980. I was sitting with him on an airplane. And
yeah,
he went after me on the plane.
Sitting in
believe
a back
me,
room, sitting behind
stage. She would not
be
my first choice, that I can tell you.
It's always some accusation of some unfounded nitwit. It always happens that way. You know, it seems to me that people come out of the woodwork. I'd really be interested to find out the political affiliations of those who are coming forward, huh?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
what if I was in Trump's shoes and they were, you know, leveling those accusations about me or, you know, somebody I really care about, I couldn't just be calm about it. I mean, those types of things, those types of injustices, that, you know, I go ballistic over that kind of crap.
Yeah, I know. Well, you
there's
know,
nothing
I mean,
worse than
if that's the best thing that they have to fire across the bow with what we're looking at with Hillary, well, then so be it. Isn't it amazing how he plays a little bit of grab ass and somehow that's the end of Donald J. Trump? He played some grab ass while this woman, literally, there are a stream of corpses that follow her and every move that she has made. But we're going to worry about a little bit of grab ass. Amazing.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, she would never get away with what she's doing if it wasn't for the media. There's no way somebody is as corrupt and as, you know, closely associated to as many deaths and murders as the Clintons. You know, in any normal world, any normal, you know, sense of any
They could never get away with doing what she's doing. She's getting away with it because the media is completely backing her up on her lies.
Well, define normal, my friend.
Yeah, define normal. Normal meaning, you know, the average person that's, you know, not the politically correct elite globalist Trotskyite Marxist scumbags of the freaking universe.
Well,
you know, it's normal,
it's,
folks.
It's amazing to me, first of all, that we've allowed communism to persist to the level that it has. But, you know, I have had this conversation with people many times in the past where they said, you know, well, people have the right to free speech. Well, my position on Marxist ideology is, you know, I'm sorry, but when you're talking about subversion, when you're talking about an ideology that espouses the overthrow of the constitutional republic and the establishment of a community of a communist a regime, this transcends the right to free speech. This is no longer free speech. This is subversion and a direct attack against the republic form of government. And therefore, all of these folks that call themselves openly and outwardly communists, I miss the days where the House of American Un-American Activities existed, where people still had some fear about self-identifying as communists or Marxists. And we're going to hear coming up a little bit later on in the show, Fox News itself not only using Marxist terms and promoting Marxist ideology, but actually agreeing that it is a necessary thing. People have no real deep comprehension of the level of ideological subversion that is going on every single day in the mainstream media. We expect it from the left. But those people that are disarmed by it, by watching Fox News, do you know the amount of people that I speak to on a daily basis of what you would consider the same mindset that use the term racist? The term itself was created by Leon Trotsky. He was a Marxist communist. There is no such thing as racist or racism. It is a Marxist construct. Now, I will submit there is such a thing as bigotry. And I will use the English language for the English language and everything that it's worth. And I do not appreciate, support, or condone bigotry. But if you look at the definition of these words and you understand why they've used the terminology that they have, it's amazing that they have gotten this far with so many people getting away with it. Bigotry, the definition, intolerance towards those who hold different opinions from oneself. Now, allow me to illustrate to you what bigotry is. The opinion that people should not be discriminated against because of the color of their skin. If you discriminate against somebody based upon the color of their skin, they are a bigot. They are not a racist. If we continue to use Marxist terminology, we allow them to win. I will not tolerate, nor will I use ever the term racist. And any time that it's used or brought up in a conversation, I always and forever will challenge the individual that is using it and ask them if they have any clue as to where it was began, and who created it, and why. Even if they used it properly, and it was the unreasonable, the unprovoked discrimination against someone based upon the color of their skin, if that was really truly the definition of it, I might be able to agree with it. But what they call racism is people who stand against individuals like Mike Brown, the store robbing, thuggish, most probably mind-controlled peanut that tried to grab a cop's gun. That's what they call racism. Darren Wilson, who defended his life and the community by which he served, although that is a whole nother story for another day in discussing the American revenue generation policing commune policy enforcers.
Yeah, you know, I think I mentioned before on the show, Tom, that the word race in Webster's dictionary, the only definition for the word race, which of course is the root for the words racist, racism, but the only definition for the word race is about running a race, like we're running the New York Marathon, we're running a race, or we're racing to get something done. There is no definition for the word race that has anything to do with what, you know, the terms racist and racism refer to. And the reason is that there is only one race. There's nothing to define. There is a single race, the human race. So how can you be racist against your own existence?
You know, there are what they identify as sub-races, like Negroid and this and that and the other thing. Look, this is what I go by, man. Science is important when it comes down to it. We all bleed red. But also there is a problem with this multicultural push that's being forced down our throats, and all of our cultural identities are being destroyed. You can call the white people a race if you so choose, but the reason that I think that that's dangerous is because we make it sound like there's one. Okay, and I think that the many individuals that comprise the Western civilization, if you will, are comprised of so many different cultures that are in danger. For instance, the Swedish, for instance, Norway, for instance, Germany, for instance, England. These are cultures that differ from each other, radically differ from each other, and they are, you can call them white, but by doing so, you almost allow the genocide to continue, because if we allow one of these cultures to be destroyed, it is a crime against all of humanity. We'll be back with some callers and on Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started,
Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.